In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The Gospel text for Christmas Eve reminds us again of the wonder and surprising nature of God's incarnation. The preparation for God's coming into the world in Christ happens in the very normal events of daily life. Even as politics and economics and other forces make their attempts to name and number the entire world, God will establish a counter-politics that will place kingly rule not in the imperial palace, but in a manger, whose outcome will not be conquest, but a cross. Thinking about political, economic, and social forces that shape our lives and our hearts make this passage relevant. Around Christmas, those forces ask us to buy more presents and to put up a fancy tree. And amid Hallmark trivialities, we must not lose the scandal of God's incarnation as an infant. Outside of town, to a yet-to-be-married couple, these two are model outsiders, at least. We must ask ourselves and consider, would we turn this pair away if they came knocking at our church doors today? As we think about the demands of our lives in regards to work and family and church and community, we might collide into two conflicting demands which require us to make a choice that we might not want to make. We think of Joseph, who traveled to Bethlehem for a census registration. He didn't go there for vacation. He had to obey the rulers of his day, even as God's plan was beginning to unfold a very different kingdom. It's helpful, especially in these days, which are dominated by politics and responsibility, to think about how God's work unfolds, not despite these other tasks, but inside of them, right inside the midst of them. How can we look at God's unfolding power in the midst of our very own daily lives? On Christmas Eve, many of us know what it's like to leave our homes and return to our hometown or the family of our births. Some may wish they could have that experience, but they cannot have it because other priorities or illnesses or situations redirect their availability. Some undertake the journey home with absolute trepidation, others with wondrous joy, and some out of obligation, and some by actual choice. Well, like Mary and Joseph, they undertake it in the midst of life's other challenges and events. And it is in these specific places, not in some abstract place, that God's work unfolds. How does God unfold in your particular life and in your particular place? This is something to think about. And I have to say that our Advent Bible study was a very particular place where our church members were in awe of how we were shaped in a particular time, in a particular place, with a difficult and particular problem that none of us had ever faced. God used us as individuals in this community and tasked us with a particular challenge, and it was met with swift, non-judgmental response, which resulted in unconditional love and a life-changing opportunity. Upon our reflection together and our debriefing, we were conscious of the Holy Spirit working right in our midst to protect and shelter an at-risk person. To me, this task became priority, and to me, this was a communal response which was very affirming of this Christian, wonderful community. It was a commitment to love unconditionally and to respond lovingly. And indeed, that very thing happened within the holy, within our midst, in our particular time and place. Place shapes how God is experienced, and often politics does not bend to our needs, as contemporary events make this all too clear. Think about the latest struggles for justice in our community, be it this town, or our country, or globally, over any number of issues. While Mary sought shelter to give birth to her child, but there wasn't any room for her, those who swarmed back for the census earlier had taken up all the rooms and left her without anything. She was without a place. Some people in our local congregations may feel that there is no room for them in the places where they seek shelter either. They may feel as if they're relegated to an outsider status, or that they have to enter by the back door, or to sleep on the street or down the street. And are there times, my friends, that you have ever been shut out of the inn? And what did that feel like in your life? Many people have some memory of exclusion. And if you've ever been shut out, can you think of the ways that God's hand took action in the midst of that exclusion? Even if things didn't go as planned or as you foresaw, we often have to recognize or even look for the fact that new life breaks forward. It breaks forth in these events. Jesus, God's work, arrived in the midst of political events with no vacancies. The important message of Christmas is that even when things do not go as planned, God arrives. We forget the scary nature of that first Christmas, that it was all about things that were totally unexpected in places unsought. Christ arrived in a manger, in a cattle stall. And if the Son of God can arrive in such circumstances, so can truth, and so can joy. The gospel reminds us that God appears to the less than perfect and the less than powerful. Too often people think that God will not speak to them because they don't go to church, or because they are totally aware of the sin that they commit, or because they think their lives are very much less than holy, or because the church has told them so. But my friends, this isn't true. By appearing to the shepherds, God showed God's willingness to appear to anyone who would listen. God came unexpectedly at night to those who were simply going about their daily occupations. The shepherds had not withdrawn from the world to seek holiness in a holy place. They were simply going about their task, and God appeared in the midst of it. Too often we look for God in the beautiful, in the times and places that we think that we set out to seek him. But it's also very, very important to remember that God seeks us. And think about the ways that you might have seen God move unexpectedly in your life at a moment where you were least expecting the holy, but then found the holy. Or maybe sometimes rather that the holy found you. These shepherds, they were probably tired in tending their sheep at night. Then unexpectedly and intrusively, God's messenger appears, and the angels terrified them. They had apparently not been waiting or praying for a message. Rather, God's message interrupted them right where they were in order to announce God's work. God can show up in small and extraordinary ways. At Christmas, the awe-inspiring and terrifying God who Moses had to veil his face to see appeared as a baby infant. In times like ours, when angels are celebrated as friendly and sentimental characters, it may be difficult to picture what powerful and unsettling creatures angels actually might be. And yet God whispers, "Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy." And this is the same call that Jesus will echo in the Gospels. Fear not. Finally, we have a blessing of peace. God sends us peace. God does not desire huge festivals, frantic preparations, or wish us boundless energy to get everything done. Rather, God wishes us peace. At this Christmas time, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.